Hey, this is Pastor Sean Beatty from Clovis Hills Community Church. We're so glad you're listening to our podcast. If you want more information about the church, go to www.clovishills.com, or you can download our app in your iTunes or Google Play Store. Enjoy the podcast.
Man, I am very excited this morning. I have a friend I want to introduce you to, and he's going to be preaching this morning. He has an awesome name, by the way. And if you don't know, our church, Clovis Hills, we made a commitment over the next 3 years. We're going to see 2,500 first-time decisions for Christ and 1,000 people get baptized. It's awesome. Matter of fact, last service, someone came forward and gave their life to Christ for the very first time, and her name was Carrie, and she screwed a light bulb in, and she was very excited. We got her Bible. We're getting her followed up in some discipleship. It's just an awesome thing. Well, besides seeing all those decisions for Christ, we wanted to see... we wanted to plant 3 churches because I believe this, there is no better way to do evangelism than through church planting. Because when you plant a church, people come to Christ and you have instantly a discipling community right there for them. Luis Palau came, you know, a few months ago, and that was wonderful. And he gave the gospel and lots of people came to Christ, and hopefully they get plugged into churches. But when you plant churches, you have it all encompassed right there. So we're super excited about it. We've got a church plant going on. They're meeting this morning right now. They have a core group, about 15 to 20 people in Porterville with Pastor Esteban Mendezabal is there right now. It's awesome. Yeah. And then, our church in the Silicon Valley, Eden Church, it launched. It had its first public services a couple months ago. They had 200 people at their very first service, which was really cool. It was super cool. And then I saved this one for last because I've invited him to come preach this morning. We're planning a church in the kind of out by Clovis East, that kind of southwest Clovis, southeast Fresno area, and it's called The Gathering. And the cool part about this church is it's not just Clovis Hills doing it. We're partnering with our sister church, North Point. And if you don't know that story, Clovis Hills and North Point were planted about a year apart from each other by the same church, First Southern and another church in town, Harvard Terrace. And just a really cool thing. And someone got me and Pastor Steve Williams together and a couple other guys, and they said, hey, you guys are sister churches. What if you guys had a baby and you created grandchildren from your mother church? And we were like, that sounds really creepy. Can we use another word for it? How about we just plant a church? But it's just an awesome thing. So I want to introduce you to my friend, and I'm just very excited for you guys to hear him. He has an awesome message for you today. His name is Pastor Sean Meyer. So give it up for Sean.
Thanks, man. One more. Ah, thank you. Thanks, guys. I am the baby, I suppose. Man, it's Clovis Hills. I'm super excited to be here. There's lots of reasons for that, but one of them is that you probably don't know what I call you guys and what the Gathering Church calls you guys. You're the mothership. So it's like really an honor and a privilege to be in this pulpit today because I feel like, you know, it's the mothership. This is a big deal, right? But I've admired your church for a lot of years. I've been here before, and, you know, I've just always thought the work that you do in the community is great. The strength that you have in your growth groups is great. Your staff is high caliber staff and just a great church overall. And I admire your pastor, Sean B. I call him Sean B. because, you know, on the calendar, he gives time to me every week. So we meet for an hour each week, and it just says on the calendar, the Seans, which is weird, right? So I just call him Sean B., but he's a mentor to me, and I admire lots of things about him. I think the number one thing that I really admire about your pastor, it's his hair. It's his hair. Honestly, like, no matter how long I stand in front of the mirror, it's just never going to happen. There's one of those guys. I thought maybe today, as I was kind of preparing for this, I was just praying, and God, what do you want from me here? And I thought maybe I'd take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about the Gathering Church, but not stick there too long. I kind of wanted to maybe weave in some of my story of what led me to plant that church and what kind of leads me here today. I did work as a pastor at North Point Church for several years. Sean mentioned that. Over time, God put church planting on my heart more and more and more. It was this increasing thing. It happened over like probably like 7 years of time, it was just more and more. God just kept putting it on my heart. And North Point wasn't at that point in time ready to get involved with a church plant. So that led me to pursue a missions pastor role at another church so I could get exposed to church planting throughout the world. And man, did I. There was a stretch of time, you guys, where I think it was like 7 months and 8 countries that I was in at one point in time. And it was just jamming. I had 12 missionaries working with me in like 10 different countries, and I was trying to go see them all, and it was a wild time. So I really got exposed to how God is moving throughout the world, which is ultimately what led me to decide it's time to plant a church in my hometown. It's time to get moving in Fresno and Clovis. It's time to take this and do it. And right about that time we're praying about it, I get contacted by Sean B., right? And Steve Williams from North Point, and they're like, hey, we're looking to see something happen. Are you and Carrie ready to make something happen? And Carrie's my wife, by the way, not my girlfriend. We'll keep going. This is why you have to have notes. So we just so happen to be part of a growth group, right? You guys have growth groups? All right. And you're all part of one. All right. That's good. And it was just an amalgamation of a group of friends that would meet every week in kind of different houses and stuff. And so we start praying about it, and we throw it out there to them and start praying with them about it because we had become really close with them as just mentors in our lives and friends. And they said, you know what? Yeah, we're in. We think that you guys should do that. So we began this planning. You know, we're going to make these plans and we're going to do these things. And the Bible says, in a man's heart, he plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So we make our plans, but we're always willing to kind of pivot when we need to pivot. But we started meeting weekly at different houses and trying to add some folks to that group. And we progressed at one point to get out of the house because we felt like we're all living in different areas, but we had this area we wanted to reach. And so we found a park in this area, and we started having church at the park with like 10 people, you know? Okay, that's church math. There was 6 of us. There was 6 of us. But like one guy could play the guitar, and so he was like watching some YouTube videos about how to play the guitar. And then he came out there, and I came out with like a quick Bible study. And the purpose really was to intentionally try to meet some neighbors, was to be outside, be at a park in the area that we wanted to plant a church. My wife and I moved from Northwest Fresno to Ashland and DeWolf, because we believe, you know, in an incarnational way that we should live in the neighborhood that we're doing ministry. And so we moved. Now the area, I kind of mentioned the area, the parks in the area. We moved to the area. Sean B. mentioned it. It is really the Clovis east and south of that, right? So if I could draw you a map, it would be everything east of Fowler Avenue, all the way out to like DeWolf, Highland, Leonard, all that stuff out there, pushing almost towards that Sanger boundary, right? And then everything south of Ashland, pushing almost like towards 180. So that includes Shields, McKinley and stuff. High growth area. I've been in contact with City of Clovis over their 5-year planning plan out there. It's good. If you guys know where this is, right? You guys know. You know why I know that you know where this is? Because I jumped in my car this morning to come here, and I jumped into a line of cars that were all like headed down Willow to Clovis Hills. It was nuts, so I know you guys know where that area is. But there came this point, we were in this park, and we were hanging out, and we were doing this, and it was fun. We were meeting neighbors, and we really felt like we needed to get into a building, into a spot. And it wasn't because we had so many people, it was because it was getting really cold. And it started to rain on us, and stuff like that, and like guitars, they don't work really good in the rain, and things like that. So we now meet every Sunday at 9:30 in the morning at a school called Roger Araz Elementary. You guys know where that's at? It's Armstrong and Dakota. It's a school, it looks kind of like, well, it looks like that. It looks like a kind of a big red barn. It's right at Armstrong and Dakota. And we're there every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. having services with a group of about 20, 25 people, depending on the week. So we've got this plan in place to go from where we're at right now to August 27th, grand opening of the church, right? So we're looking to add, you know, 40, 50 more people by then. And August 27th is like the week after school gets back, right? And so we're going to blast the neighborhood. Hey, come check out the new neighborhood church. School just got started. It meets in the school. So there's kind of like this plan. We're going to build this core group through the summer and then officially launch in August. In fact, you have a bulletin insert. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it kind of says, we're here. This is from the gathering. This is what's going to go out to all the neighbors. It's going to end up on their doors, in their mailboxes. It's probably going to end up in some of your Facebook feeds and things like that. This is for the launch on August 27th, but you could use this to come visit the gathering anytime if you want to check us out and just see what's going on, because we're meeting every Sunday right now. So take that home or give it to a friend or something like that. But so I've had lots of people ask me, why would you plant a church in Fresno and Clovis? Doesn't Fresno and Clovis have enough churches? That's like this question I get all the time. And you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Because you, have you ever driven down Knees? Good Lord, what happened on that street, right? 467 churches in Fresno and Clovis proper. Do you guys know that? 467. So the question is, why would you do this? Aren't there enough churches? The answer is no, there's not. We don't have enough churches, statistically speaking. There isn't actually, if you do the math, there isn't actually enough room in all the churches if all the believers showed up to all the churches. We don't actually have the capacity. The other thing is the population over the last 10 years, you guys, if you're from here, I'm a local boy. If you're from here, you know this. Over the last 10 years, the population in the Fresno-Clovis area has grown rapidly and much faster than the body of Christ, in fact. And so we're not keeping up. I'm just telling you the truth. So we definitely need to, you know, think about expanding our presence here locally at the church. But I was thinking about this and I was like, because I'm a numbers guy, I'm a business guy too, own one. And it's sort of like, I could bore you with statistics all day because I got stacks of stuff, right? But what I'd rather do is share a little bit of my story with you and sort of how I came to this place, you know, if that's okay. Because there's a lot of reasons to start churches, but I think, you know, if you're going to do that, if you're really going to, I mean, it's hard, right? It's hard. Because I'm going to tell you this, anytime you want to do something great for God, there is an opposite force that wants to get in the way, okay? So it isn't easy. So if you're going to do it, you need to have a motivation, like an internal drive, something that is deep, rooted within. Some of you have these things. All of you have it, but it's different for everybody. It's the thing that wakes me up at 4. It's the thing that makes me not be able to sleep. It's the thing that makes me want to take a pill so I can sleep, right? It's just the thing that just drives that internal motivation. You've got to have that if you want to do something like this, because statistics don't change hearts. Period. Statistics will not change hearts or lives. And so for me, my internal drive, it's about living on mission for God. It's just that simple. It's really simple to say. It's living on mission for God, because there's another question that I get asked often. And that one is, what leads a meth addict to plant a church? So that's part of my story. I was addicted to meth for a long time. I used to be 40. I know, right? It's not a good thing. See, the rest of you take note. Don't do meth. I used to be 40 pounds lighter than I am today. You know, I was sick. It was messed up. But there was a time in my life, you know, it was basically like alcohol, drugs, lifestyle of destructive behavior. I was dating Carrie, who is my wife. We cleared that up earlier. And I wasn't healthy. I wasn't healthy. On one particular occasion, my addiction, my behavior, my lifestyle choices sort of just culminated in an event, this thing that happened, and I ended up doing some prison time. I did a little bit of time in the county jail, but then I went to gladiator school. And long story short, there was this one night I was driving with a blood alcohol level of 0.22, so slightly buzzed, just a little. And then I got into this fight with this other guy. It was like a road rage thing, and we were ramming each other's cars down Herndon. And so we ended up pulling over because we were gonna just like finish his thing. And he got out of his car and he was huge. And I'm not. So I pulled the gun out. And I used it. I fired a shot from that gun during that altercation, and that's frowned upon in the state of California. So I went to prison. So this was like rock bottom. I hit this rock bottom spot, and it's relative for everybody, okay? Mine, that's what it took. That's what it took for me. I don't know what it took for you or what it's going to take for you if you're in here today and you haven't hit it. It's relative. But that was mine. And I realized there, you know, I was just like, man, I need God's help. Because I knew there was a God. I had interacted with the church. I had friends who were Christians, things like that. And so I just was like, man, I think I need God's help. So I ended up going to prison. I gave my life to Christ, actually, when I was on the inside. And then, praise the Lord, right? Yeah, God's good. And I just kind of made this commitment, you know, however long I'm going to be here, I'm going to serve you with the rest of my life. Now, there's a process, though, that I went through. And over time, I've recognized that while we might be unique, and we do talk a lot about that in the church, you know, like your unique calling, your unique makeup, how the Lord has shaped you uniquely. There's a process, even though that we might be unique in some of the particulars of the progression. The journey God takes us through is very similar for each of us. It's like a journey of restoration, right? And it's very similar for each of us. There are markers. There's kind of a track that God tends to take people through. So I just wanted to share some of mine with you, you know, and maybe you can identify with it at certain points. First thing I could remember on my journey to real actual freedom in Christ, true freedom in Christ, was deciding to take refuge in the Lord. Have you ever done that? Just, God, I just need your, oh man, I just need you, God. Psalm 91 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Man, oh, that's deep, right? It's a big deal. And I think this happens for all of us in our own way, but it does happen for all Jesus followers at some point. If you're a Christian, if you follow Christ, you probably can remember the time that you decided to take refuge in the Lord. And Psalm 91 is really interesting, and it's meaningful to me because it's a psalm of protection, right? You look at those words, the person who dwells in the shelter of God. This is protection, resting in the shadow of the Almighty. He's my refuge, my fortress, right? What's a fortress? This is protection. This is for people who need to take refuge and seek refuge in the Lord. And so very simply, that's what I did. I was reading the Bible cover to cover because I had plenty of time in prison. So I was reading the Bible cover to cover. I hadn't gotten to John 3:16 yet. I was just in Psalms, and I'm like, man, I need that refuge too. You know, I just need, God, I need your help. I'm nothing without you. I can't protect myself on my own anymore. I just need you, God. And that was it. I just sought his protection. And a little while after that happened, I did officially give my life to Jesus, you know. I mean, I came across the gospel, talked to another guy, and ended up giving my life to Christ, accepted his sacrifice for my sins. But going forward, there was still this sense of, and maybe you guys can identify, there was still this sense of guilt and maybe even shame for like who I was. And I was sort of embarrassed about me, you know? Even though I had given my life to Christ and I sought refuge in the Lord and I'm a Christian now and I read the Bible, but I still had this sense of shame and sort of like just being embarrassed. And there came a time where I began to realize the truth of God actually washing away my sin and what that really means. Romans 8 says there's no condemnation for those in Christ. Let me repeat that in case you've heard that before but haven't really received it. There is no condemnation if you're in Christ. You're not condemned. You're not. Somehow in my beginning stages of like development, I still felt the need to punish myself for who I was. Long after I accepted Christ, it was a long time actually, I was still punishing myself. But there was a moment. Have you guys ever had a moment? It's a moment, man. It was like clarity. There was this moment where I realized God wasn't punishing me. I was. And it was like, boom. My sins are washed away. I'm no longer condemned. I got to live into that. No more guilt, no more shame, no condemnation, right? This is what I'm called to walk in, reality, a forgiven state. It's already happened. It's already gone. I'm the one holding on to this. He's released me from it. Reality is I dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, and I'm no longer condemned. Can you say that today? Oh, man. It's a great feeling. Once I grabbed onto that, something happened, you guys. Something happened. I tend to grab onto things. I'm like, you know, when I get a concept, I'll just get like a laser. I gotta do something with that. I knew I couldn't keep it to myself. That's what happened. It was so joyful. It was so releasing. It was so amazing that I just couldn't hang on to it myself. I was like, I got to give this away somehow. I'm so grateful for what God's done for me that I got to see this happen for other people, because what I'm experiencing here, what's happening to me, this has to happen for other people. Because if this hasn't happened to them, they don't know what they're missing. This is amazing. So I started to understand, you got this light, right? We have this light that needs to shine, and hiding it would be a crime after what God's done for me. That's kind of what I grabbed onto. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:14, Jesus says it, right? He says, you're the light of the world. You're supposed to let your light shine before others so they might see your good deeds and glorify God because of what they see through you. And I got to tell you guys, I find it incredibly interesting that in his breakout sermon, like his first big address to the crowds, the Son of Man, the King come, he says, you're the light. Because they all expected him to be the light, right? If you listen to Sean B. and you learn from him, you know that's what they expected of Jesus. Oh, this is the Messiah. This is the light of the world. He's going to overthrow Rome. He's going to make everything right. And in his first big sort of thing, he's like, hey, you guys, you're the light. Could you imagine that? And that concept, it really blew me away, but it also like it rooted. It jammed itself so far down inside of me that there was just this fire. And so basically I started doing stuff, but I didn't know what to do or what I was doing. But I started serving and volunteering, okay? So I know you guys probably talk about that here at Clovis Hills, but I just did whatever I could do. I got connected to this ministry called Celebrate Recovery, which is an amazing ministry. And let me tell you about Celebrate Recovery. Dude, it's not just for like jacked up addicts for me, like me. It's for all of us. Like we all have hurts and habits and hangups and all these things, you know, from the past. Things that happened to us that we're still hanging on to. Things like that guilt and shame that we're just holding on to. You can release that, you know? And that happened for me there. So I start serving. I'm like stacking chairs, stacking tables, making coffee, whatever I can do. And then I that spilled over into the church, into the church at large. So I start coming to church on Sundays, right? On the weekends. And I'm like, I could stack chairs here too. They'll let me make coffee here too. It was so cool. They'd let me do anything. They'll probably let you do that here too. They'll probably let you just pick whatever you want. That's what they let me do. It was really neat. And then that kind of spilled over into work, where I tried to be like more of a light at work and be less grumpy and stop complaining, which I know you guys never do and you don't have problems with, but I did. You know, so I tried to be more of a light at work. I basically adopted this mindset that people will see God when they see him through us. You're the light of the world. You got to let it shine. So this mindset of living on mission really took root, and I was just on a rail, and North Point Church was like, this guy isn't going to leave. We should probably give him a paycheck because, you know, he's here every day and stuff. And so they hired me. They hired me, and they turned me into a pastor. It was crazy. I know, it's wild, right? God is really good. God is really good. Now, that took years, right? I mean, it was a long time of time, but, you know, I start ministering to people and groups, and the rest is history. I started some ministries and started preaching and all that kind of stuff, but here's another thing that happened. I kind of told you guys that I told you earlier that God had been pushing on me over the course of several years about church planting and what that meant. And when God presses on me about something, catch on to this, because this could help you too. When God presses on me about something, my response is prayer and study, like prayer and research. Because I don't know about you, but he doesn't say things to me in an audible way. I don't know if you guys think your pastors are like extra holy and God actually like shows up and says stuff in certain ways, but that doesn't happen for me. What happens for me is a really serious feeling on my heart that isn't normal, that I can't ignore. And then I start kind of thinking about that and praying about that. And usually it's something that I probably wouldn't think of myself, right? And so I start thinking about it, I start praying about it, and then I start studying about it. And that's what I did. And through a lot of prayer and study, I came to the conclusion that church planting is not the only, but it is the best way to advance the gospel. It is the best way to truly fulfill the Great Commission, right? You know the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, go make disciples, right, of all nations, baptizing them, name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, right, to obey everything I command you, and remember I'll be with you to the end, right? That's the Great Commission. If you think about it, you guys, here's where I came to. It was like, is there any single venue or platform on the planet where disciples could be made, where people can be baptized, where they can consistently and regularly be taught the Word of God, and where all this can happen at scale almost infinitely? Is there any better way than the church, the assembled collective body of Christ? I came to the conclusion, God just dropped it on me. This is the most comprehensive venue in which to make disciples, not converts. Do you know the difference? Disciples are made over time, in community, God says. This is a process. It's a lifelong process, still happening for me, happening in community. The church is the best way to do that. And where else should we baptize people in front of all the other believers? I mean, this is it, you guys. I'm not passionate about this at all. Like, this is what God just, bam! And he'll do the same thing for you. So church planting is where it's at for me. That's what I knew it, you know? And I had to do it. And then coincidentally, I get a phone call. Do you want to? I mean, come on. You know? It's amazing. So I'm going to circle back to the beginning. I told you guys where the gathering church plant is kind of at right now. And we want to thank you guys so much for your support. I mean, we're doing stuff like, you know, Father's Day, this upcoming weekend, tri-tip barbecue, build your own tri-tip sandwich bar. We're trying to invite a bunch of people over there to kind of see what we're doing, who we are, what we're about. And we're going to continue this plan all the way through August to launch this church to the neighborhood. But right now we don't quite have enough people to bring the neighborhood in to where they'll feel like this, you know, energy about it. So we need to add people between now and then. So I want to thank you guys, but what I really want to thank you for is your prayers, because you guys are obviously helping us financially. Focus 2020 is a huge deal, and it takes money, but your prayers and your moral support and just the fact that you're here for us, it's huge, you guys. I mean, let me tell you something. We're going through a time right now as a group at the gathering where we're seeing exact, specific prayers answered, like from 1 week to the next. Like we'll pray about something, and then the next week it's happening, and then it's a trip. And I'm not doing anything like behind the scenes to like make that to like trick them and make them think that no really it's like, oh my gosh, your prayers are working. And so we want to thank you for that. We couldn't do it without you guys. This is the whole body of Christ working together to build the kingdom, right? And I got to tell you, you know, I've had some experience, and there's a lot of people that talk about building the kingdom, but what they look like they might be doing is building their kingdom. And personally, I want to be about his kingdom. And so I'm grateful that Clovis Hills has the heart to be the church and build his kingdom. I want to find the words to tell you how much I love you and how grateful I am for you. I don't have those words. It's really deep though. You know? This is like the perfect example of us working together to grow his kingdom, not ours. And we love you. And at the gathering, we pray for you. We do call you the mothership. So like on Father's Day, I'll be like, yeah, I was over at the mothership last week. And like, it's a good thing. We're grateful for your partnership in building the kingdom. Now, speaking of building his kingdom, this is something I want to close with because I have a couple of questions. Okay? Have you ever heard a pastor say, I'm going to close this message? And like 45 minutes later, this is not that. I'll make a promise to you. This is not that. But so where are you at in this whole process? Right? I mean, where are you at in the process of restoration with God and regeneration through the purposes he has for your life? I mean, kingdom building depends on our continued development. I mean, if you know construction at all, if you just stop, it doesn't get built. It has to continually be developed. And we see developments happening all around us in a tangible way. The kingdom is this way. It depends on us allowing the process to continue and to continue investing in ourselves and in the collective body of Christ and in the work God wants to do in the development. At the gathering, we like to say Christ, community, calling. Those are the big three things that we try to focus on. We're constantly pursuing in our walk. More of Christ. Deeper community. Understand your calling. And sometimes we're sort of, as believers, I think maybe you can identify, we're doing more work in one area or another, right? Maybe one area is stagnating because it's not linear. It's really messy. It's circular. It's an amalgamation of all this junk that you're trying to work out with Christ, and then you're trying to community, but maybe you're out of community for a while and you're not part of a growth group, and maybe you understand your calling, but you're not doing anything with it. You guys understand what I'm talking about, right? There's this, sometimes we get out of balance. Sometimes we get out of balance. We realize we need to get back into it, and we've gotten comfortable, complacent with where we're at, and God wants to continue to move us forward, you guys. God wants to continue to move you forward. Forward. So where are you at in the journey? You moving forward? I shared some scriptures with you earlier. I shared them in the context sort of of different phases, right, of my life and my walk with God and how he's walked alongside me and how the Bible has meant special things to me during those times. I'm going to share them with you again, but I'm going to share them one after another. So just hear the word of the Lord, because this is just his words. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. There's no condemnation. No condemnation for those in Christ. You're the light of the world. It's the light of the world. No one puts a lamp under a basket. Man, let your light shine so people see all the good things you do and give glory to God. So go. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything I taught you. I'll be with you all the way to the end. See, this progression happens with all of us, guys. Different ways, but there's sort of some similarities. If take refuge in God. Realize you're not condemned anymore. You got a light to shine, so go shine it. I'm not unique. This is basically God's method. This is how he does it. So where are you at? Do you need refuge today? Do you need that? I'm going to tell you, man, if you look at that scripture and you read it for yourself and you decide to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, it is the most comforting, most peaceful, most releasing, most weight-lifting experience I've ever felt in my life. Take it if you need it. It's yours. It's from him. It's for you. Do you need to let go of some guilt? Some shame? Are you carrying some stuff? You carrying some baggage that God's already taken away? Let it go. Let it go. It's not even yours anymore. Just let it go. Maybe you need to shine your light a little more. Clovis Hills, man, this is a church about, people are active here. This is who I know you to be. This is one of the reasons I admire you so much. Maybe you need to shine your light. I had a meeting with John Annan this week. Oh my gosh. What a stud. The guy's awesome. But I know he needs help. I know he needs help. I know your baptism table can need. I know. You got all kinds of stuff you could do. And guess what? They'll probably let you do whatever you want. It's cool. Well, maybe you need to live life more on mission. Maybe you've stagnated. I don't know. But maybe you need to get the blood moving. Maybe you need to do like these Swaziland folks. And maybe you need to get out and do something like that. Maybe you need to come over and hang out at the gathering for a little bit. I don't know. But where are you at in this process? That's what I want to leave us with. That's the thought I want to take to God this morning. Where am I at with God? Refuge, guys. It's yours. Shine your light. Get up and move. You can do this. You're Clovis Hills. Let's take that to the Lord this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you again today. Man, I'm still just blown away by this church family. They're so well connected, Lord, to each other and to you. And I just genuinely feel the presence of your Holy Spirit, God, when I'm here. When I step onto this campus, I feel refuge. And I thank you for that because it's been a long week. And I thank you for these people. I thank you for their love, their support, their prayers for the gathering. God, I thank you for what you're doing through them. I pray that you would continue. I pray that you would multiply and increase their efforts, that you would pour out a double portion of harvest upon this church. This Focus 2020 thing, God, it came from you. Sean's just the one telling people about it. God, this is all about you. So we trust you to make it happen. Trust you to help us. We're going to show up. That's my commitment today, Lord. I'm going to keep showing up. And I'm going to submit it all to you. I pray we all do the same. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.